Thank you, Jesus. So what could I say? thank you to greet the man of God by way of Elder Tinsley, who we affectionately call him Elderly Tinsley. Amen. And we want to greet him with a hearty praise the Lord. Amen. We just pray that God uses him on this evening. Elder Tinsley, feed him.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Or should I say my elderly voice?
Praise the Lord.
But you know, I thank God for being 70 years old. That's 3 score and 10. That's in the Bible. I'm on borrowed time now. I just praise God. I thank God that we received a message today from our pastor of the camp. I just thank God they made it safely. The highways are so treacherous now. And you don't know what people are partaking as far as drugs or alcohol now. There's just so much going on. The trip we made to Lancaster, when I got home, I turned on the news and found out that a tour bus, 4 people were killed on a tour bus. And later they gave a little more information that the driver some way swerved to avoid something and he lost control. And 4 people were killed and the rest were seriously injured. So we just thank God. We take nothing for granted. Take nothing for granted. Oh God, we praise God. Take nothing for granted. Well, it's good to be here. I pray that you can hear me. This reminds me, I just want to say, when I grew up, every once in a while we had service for 2-3. But I'll tell you, we had church though. We had church. I'm not going to be before you long. It's going to be very brief. Just want to touch on something here. And you can turn your Bible to let's see. 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, I'll be ending up with. Your souls, Lord, that you use these lips to pray. Lord God, you said where 2 or 3 are gathered, you will be in our midst. Hallelujah. And we praise you and we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There's people that come to service like this, they point, turn around and walk back out, but we know better. 3rd chapter. I just want to touch on speaking about tests and trials, but more so dealing with tests. You know, when we are blessed by God and we're put in a certain position, tests are going to come. We are going to be tested. We are going to be tested.
Yes.
I just want to talk to you briefly. When I first came into the church and got saved, it seemed like in the first few years, it felt like the ceiling came down on me. I just want to tell you some personal things. I was confronted immediately with some tests. Not meaning some tests. One of the first things that happened to me, I ended up being an assistant chairman for the young people in the PCAF, Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. It consisted of about 13 churches, and we in Conroe, Pennsylvania, we were somewhat isolated from all the other churches. We were down in southwestern Pennsylvania, and most of the churches were up north in New York and what have you, though. But I was the young people chairman. I was the assistant young people's chairman. And before we went to a council, God had put on my heart. heart to pray and fast for a week. I didn't know why. And when we went to the council, lo and behold, when we got there, the chairman of the young people had already conspired with all those, the majority up north, not to vote for me to be the chairman. Because your term ended if you were 40 years old. He was 39. He wanted to finish his term. Told his family, spread the word up north. So when I came to the council, it was mentioned to me, and of all people, it was his daughters came to me and told me that. And so what happened was, God moved. I was voted chairman, overwhelmingly. But the test wasn't over because he refused to hand over any information. He refused to help in any kind of way. And situations came as far as laying out conventions and councils and what have you. He refused to assist. I had to rely on other sources. But briefly too, I ended up also going to a council one time, and I was setting up in the pulpit, and one of the ushers came to me and said, the district elder wants to see you in the back in the room there. And I went back, and this district elder was pretty wealthy, and he wanted me to talk to me. And I sat down, and he began to tell me that he could see whatever he meant by the mark of God on me, and God was going to use me. And listen, I want you to, of all things, leave your church. I want you to come from Connellsville to Kingston. I will buy you a house. I will take care of you. I'll get a car. And so on and so on. You don't have to worry about anything. Well, I was sort of flattered, but it ended rather weird and rather quickly, and I went out and I was thinking about what he told me. And just something wasn't right. It just wasn't right. And then my pastor finally arrived to the council, and I was sitting in the pulpit, and I was very loyal to our church and to my pastor. And when I saw my pastor come in the door, I mean, tears began to flow. Well, I had to report that. Now, this is a district elder. I had to report that, and I did report it. The next council, I don't know, did you know Elder Percy Walker? He had a church down by the dinosaur. Oh, you knew him?
I think so.
Okay. And I see a son. His son goes to Bishop, where Mother Bethay went to. Bishop Thomas. Matter of fact, Mother Bethay and I, we went way back. She knew me when I was a child and came to Connellsville. Matter of fact, my brother and I, we used to imitate preachers, and I used to pretend I was Bishop Bethay preaching or different preachers and what have you and so on. But anyways, the next council was here in Troy, New York, and we were at Percy Walker's church. And so they, the superintendents, the overseers of the council, they took this district elder and confronted him about what he had said, what he did. Then somebody came and got me and said, your pastor wants to see you outside. Seemed like everybody had these Lincoln Continentals though. But it was almost like the mafia. And so our two chairmen of the entire council were sitting, Elder Percy Walker in the driver's seat, it's his car, Elder Ivy Mouse, and my pastor, and they had the district elder in the back. And they told me to get in. And they told me to repeat everything that he said to me. And I did. And he sat there with his face. No, I did not. They said, Elder Tinsley, you can leave. Things just weren't so right after that. I was in the UPC. You know, that's a majority white organization. I had a church that they gave me to pastor in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Things were doing fine. Matter of fact, God really blessed when we took over that church, doubled in size. Even the mayor and individuals were coming to church. But what happened was a young boy wanted to get married. He asked me, would I walk him down the aisle? And I said, well, you know, what's going on? What about your parents? He said, well, he was white. He said, I want to marry a black girl. The organization and my family has turned against me, and they want nothing to do with it. Will you walk me down the aisle? Well, apparently, the word got back to the overseers over me and the organization. I was called in a meeting, and I had to come to this meeting, the only black person there at the old table, pastor and assistant pastors and other overseers and what have you, the family, sitting around this table. They lit me up. Everybody around that table just lit me up. I said to just God gave me so much peace and calmness. I sat there and listened to it. When they were finished, they said, well, Elder Tinsley, what do you have to say? I said, it's not what I have to say, it's what God's word says. And I began to give them God's word. I ended this with, if you don't change your ways, you and everybody else are going to bust hell wide open just like anybody else. And it looked like glowworms around the table. I mean, their faces turned beet red. Suddenly, the embedded people in the church, they went behind my back, told my members to have service in the home, don't give offerings. One came to me and said, we only want you to teach. If you preach, I won't pay my tithes. Somebody came and said, I don't want you to teach. It was just a bunch of confusion. But you know, I was younger then, and it startled me. As a matter of fact, it frustrated me. And it discouraged me, and it seemed like everything was just spinning. And of course it was spinning because I was on a potter's wheel. But the one thing we don't have to worry about falling off, because God, when you work with pottery, your hands are around it, caressing it, molding it, making it. But what happened? I grew up this way. As a child, I woke up, as far as I can remember, being conscious to life. I remember waking up, laying on my mother's lap, and it's something how I felt fear because my mother was heavy. I thought I was going to roll off. But I woke up to the preaching of my pastor when I was a child. When he preached, it sounded like thunder and lightning. It was just so sharp and powerful. People sat there, and people would come to church, and next thing you see them wiping lipstick off during the message. You see them taking earrings off in that day and time. You see them putting sheets or scarves over their legs and so on. You either got saved or you didn't come back. The power of God was so strong. That's the type of pastor that I had then. And I woke up to that. As a child, I don't know how old I was. 2 years old, I don't know. I know I just woke up when I became, first remember becoming conscious to life. That's what I heard. That's what I felt. And for some reason, the fear of God was in me since that day till now.
Hallelujah.
And boy, I thank God for that. But when this all happened to me, the devil had me thinking nothing's right. That nothing's right. I grew up this way. My father died when I was 2 years old. I never had a father figure. We lived in a little three-room shack, poor as can be, but happy as can be. And I walked away thinking nothing's right. I was so confused and hurt and discouraged. It was amazing how God brought me back. But I said, we all are going to be tested. These are proving grounds. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, lets us know, beloved, think it not strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery test and trial. Which is a trial. as though some strange thing happened to you. And it did to me. It seemed so strange. I said, these are holy, supposed to be holy and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name, people that were doing this. And it just confused me. So I walked away, and it was just beautiful how God had drew me back. One day I walked into a Bible store, why I don't know. And he drew my attention not to Bibles in there, but to a particular book on a shelf. And I was drawn to that book, and I opened the book, I read one paragraph. I purchased that book, and I only had continued to read that one paragraph. Stormy Strong was her name, she was an author. She wrote to women, and she related to them how the reason why they couldn't adjust to God as their heavenly Father, and they couldn't really relate to him because of their past. No fathers or father's abuse or alcohol, whatever, that they weren't there for them. And God said, that's you. That's why you have a hard time relating. That's why you're going through what you're going through, because of that. Lord have mercy. He says, but I've been there all along.
Amen.
I am your Father.
Yes.
It hit me like a ton of bricks. I was living by myself, and my knees just buckled, and I fell to the floor on my knees, and I just wailed and thanked God.
Yes.
God drew me back. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so, these tests and trials that we go through, we are going to be tested. Peter says also in 1 Peter 1 and 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's something about fire. Fire, how it divides, it extracts impurities from things. I used to, in art school, when we would use clay and mold and make things, we had to put, after we molded, after we formed or molded whatever object we made, we had to put it in what was called a kiln. And you would turn it up 1,000 degrees temperatures. And that heat would draw the moisture out so it could dry and harden. And just like Christ, you know, then we'd take it out, we'd paint it, and we'd put a glaze on it. It's just beautiful. And people would look at it, not so much admire it, but admire the one that made it. And we too are going to be hardened. God wants us to be hardened, and God wants to put us on display so people can see Christ in us. That people can see our light shining. And not give us the glory, but give God the glory. To God be the glory. And so we see that I lived in Pittsburgh, and they had 22 miles steel mill, Jones and Lockman. It's all gone now. But my pastor at that time, when I was a child, he used to work in the steel mill, but he gave it up when he became pastor. But I heard many stories, and I've seen pictures. The steel had to go through a purifying process. Many of you have seen the emblem, the Steeler emblem. Those are supposed to be the crystals of the impurities coming out of the steel. And that would cause the steel to be strong. And they would call it scum and what have you. But it was called dross. And they had a bucket on beams that would glide along. And the bucket was almost 2 stories high, like a pail. And they had men on catwalks on either side. And they had long 10, 15 foot scoops. And what would happen when they would heat that steel, the impurities would come to the top and they would scoop it off and discard it. And it was called dross. I thought about that. I said, God, take away the dross so I can bear the cross.
Amen.
Even it was so hot they had to wear asbestos suits. And I heard of a story that a man fell in it. Well, that was in your own hope for him, but there's nothing left though. But we go through these tests and trials because God is drawing impurities out of us so we can be what He wants us to be. Now, when we go through tests and trials, I thought about when I said, we will be tested. Always will be tested. That's not going to change. It's not going to change. Just like in high school or college or various things, you take a test. You have to take a test. You always will be tested. And it's not going to change. God showed me, you have to change.
Yes. Amen.
Just like in school, the tests are always going to come. They're not going to change.
Yes.
You have to change.
Yes.
You have to study more.
Yes.
You have to do something about it so that you can pass the test.
Yes.
You have to change yourself so you can endure and take that test and pass. That's what we have to do.
Amen.
It's not so much all the obstacles that God and tests and trials that God puts before us. It's not so much we pray, oh God, move it out the way, take it out the way. I can't take this. God says, you change.
Yes.
We must pray, God, help me to change, yes, to withstand the tests and trials that come my way. Because they're always going to come. They're always going to come. Change me. You pray more. You fast more. You read more. And so on. And we don't have to cry, God, move it out the way. Now God can move it out the way. But I want God to take me through. And I want to come out just like pure gold. Now, in thinking about that, I thought about Joseph. Joseph had to go through some tests. But do you know each level that he went on, every position that he had? First, he boasted to his brothers about his dreams and to his father. Well, when that time came, well, matter of fact, before that time came, he had to go to a test. It was the pit. And then he was delivered out of the pit. And then he was elevated again. But with those elevations, no matter how deep God takes you, how high God takes you, there is a test coming. And same thing with Joseph. Each level he went, he was confronted with a test. And the test that he went through was the king's wife who accused him falsely. He ended up in prison. God delivered him again. And then again, he went to the palace. And even there he had more tests. Even had to, the time came where he confronted his brothers. But I want to leave that right now. I want to go to 1 Kings to end up and show you something. When God gives us a position, I don't care if it's an usher, I don't care if it's someone on a praise team, I don't care if you're the janitor, especially if you're a pastor, a bishop, whoever you are, mother of the church, a test, not a test, tests are going to come.
Yeah.
And we must put ourselves in the position, Lord help me. And God has taught me, when these tests and trials come, Lord, what do you want me to see? Lord, what are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to know? No, I'm not going to cry about so-and-so. They said that they shouldn't have. Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? You know, what do you want to teach me?
Thank you, Lord.
And God, give me the strength. Change me.
Yes.
Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me the right spirit. Search me, God. See if there be any wicked way in me. It's not time to search somebody else. I got to search me. I got to examine myself. And these promotions come instead of it going to some people's heads and what have you. You're going to be tested no matter what it is. So in the third chapter we see here, I'm going to read this in our closing. I'm probably going to go all the way to 28. And if you have it, if you want to read along. It says in the first verse, Solomon, he had an affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In other words, he married into the heathen families. Now, you know, sometimes I get up in the morning, I get out on my balcony, I look at the trees right in front of me, about 15 yards in front of me, and I stare at it. I look at it, and it's a little blurry, I don't have my glasses on. But when I go get my glasses and stare at that tree, I can see a little more detail. I can see things I couldn't see before I put on my glasses. Sometimes I'll get my binoculars and instead of, many times I look way beyond the mountain, but sometimes I just look at that tree. And you will find things you can't see with the naked eye. Cracks, ants, you can even see spider webs and things of this nature. Different colors, the colors come more alive. There's more to it than you will see with the naked eye. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. You start seeing things in detail that can be just amazing. And I have sat and watched spiders and watched ants and so on. But if you look long enough, you see it gets a little deep. And sometimes when we get into the Word of God, you know, we got to go below the surface sometimes. Yeah. And we pray, we'll see a little more deepness. There's a little more to this than what we first imagined. But I can't explain all of this though. But he saw me, it puzzled me at first. This man was breaking God's law in the first place. And sometimes you say, well, he was the son of David, he knew the law. He knew what was right and wrong. And so he married these daughters and brought them into the city of David until he made an end of building his own house and the houses of the Lord. And it says in the wall of Jerusalem round about, it says only the people sacrificed in high places. High places were where they went to worship idols and commit idolatry. Now they were allowed to go there as long as they didn't commit idolatry. They could go there and worship their God. But here was the beginning of the division of the tribes. Because it says only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built in the name of the Lord until those days. It says, and Solomon, he loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. Now you're playing with fire here. To go up to the high places, people having different complexions and so on, it began to cause division. Some didn't feel it was right. Some thought it was okay. But playing with fire, because what it led into, some switching from worshiping God, they gravitated to worshiping idols. And it caused division. It says in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in righteousness of heart. It says, with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him. And now I, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. Now, he wasn't really a little child, but he, as we look at ourselves, babies in Christ, but he said, he was in his early 20s. He says, give therefore thy servant. No, he said, I'm a little child. I know not how to go out and to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. A great people, and cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Wow. Now, I know you can imagine some things, what some people might have asked for. And this pleased God. This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. God said, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee will any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. Isn't God amazing? I have given to you what you haven't had, both riches, honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now, reading all this, there's a lot to get into here, but I just want to make a point, we'll be done here. It says in verse 14, and if thou wilt walk in my way to keep my statutes. I know you all know the ending. It's rather sad. And my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke. Now this dream was almost as though a vision, almost like it was so realistic. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. You will be tested. Now, I told you a few stories, I could tell you a hundred. When I first got saved, some of the things that came upon me. But you know, God has the solution. God already had made the solution before the problem. At that early stage, I didn't look at it that way. But the test will come. I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Solomon received a gift here. I don't know if I told everybody how I received the Holy Ghost. It just was so beautiful. I wanted it so bad. When we were children, they used to set chairs up and kneel, and you tarry, they said, don't swallow, just keep saying hallelujah, you drooling. That was then. I mean, you just drool, don't swallow, they tell you. Just drooling, they put a cushion on the chair, wipe your mouth, and things like that. I used to tarry, I used to be so disappointed, it seemed like I couldn't get the Holy Ghost.
until I was went on hours. I was so miserable. So that bothered me because I carried that like, wow, like this thing is hard to get until I got saved. So one night, one Sunday afternoon, they said, we're going to have charity service at the church. I'm like, I think all the blood ran out of my body. So my mother was there. She had needed care. We had a big church van, and she had a geriatric chair, and I would bring her back and forth to church for my sisters, where she was taking care at the time. Traitor. That was another test, too. But I ended up in power turning two of my mother off, my sister. Treatment was horrible. But anyway, I'm not getting into that. But anyways, I said, okay, I'll take my mother home, and by the time I come back, we'll be done. Then I came back, that church was on fire. So I knelt down, and I'll never forget the two brother and sister brothers, deacon, she was treasurer. They knelt beside me, and we got started. It only took about 20 minutes. Hallelujah, 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 just nothing was happening. But do you know something happened to me? I mean, repentance came, it just seemed like in seconds. In my mind, I had a good job. This was Sunday afternoon when I came back around. It was around 3 o'clock I came back. They had a night service coming. I had to go to work the next day, Monday. But something hit me. In my mind, I said, God, because I got frustrated and discouraged, kneeling, I came up off of one leg. And it hit me, and this seemed like seconds. I said, I know they have service tonight. But God, I'm not leaving this spot until you give me the Holy Ghost. And then it got deeper. I said, Lord, I have to work tomorrow morning. I'm not going to work until you give me the Holy Ghost. Then it got real deep. I told God, I'm not going all week until you give me the Holy Ghost. Listen, God knew I meant that. I meant it. I did my job. God would give me another. I just meant that. I wanted it so bad. I told God that, and God in my heart knew I meant it. I could have said it to somebody next to me. Yeah, right. You know, you're crazy. But I meant that in my heart. And God knows our heart. Sometimes I pray and say, God, you know me. I meant that. And I didn't go into detail thinking like, what would I do, this, that, what would happen. I just meant that. I'm not leaving this spot. I put that knee down. Said about 2 or 3 hallelujahs. It was on. It was on. I said a few hallelujahs, and I could feel, just like it said in the Bible, like a rushing wind. I could feel the presence of God coming upon me, and I'm kneeling at an altar. I'm kneeling at the altar. I could feel the presence of God, and then I got physical, because when I was kneeling there, and I could feel the presence of God coming on, I gripped onto the banister of the altar. As though I can get a hold of this, and I'm not going to let go. I can feel it get stronger and stronger. And in my heart, I'm not letting this go. I felt like Jacob. I'm not letting you go until you bless my soul. I felt like I had a hold of God, and I meant it. I'm not letting go. And all of a sudden, it hit me. And I'm going to tell you, it was like a sledgehammer hit me, and I saw a star, a bright star, and come open. But I mean, the power of God hit me. I began speaking in other tongues. I couldn't stop. That was about 3:30 in the afternoon. Night service started at 7 o'clock. I was still speaking. They had to take me down to the basement. I was still speaking. Oh, God. God's amazing. Man, I'll never forget that. Never forget that. But the thing there were those nails about 6 inches long, came right with it. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was just the power of God. But as I began to grow and pray and fast, the tests came. These tests began to come. Promotions came. Tests came. Another level came. Tests came. No matter what, tests came. And so on. And so Solomon here, when he asked, when God gave this to him, he got his first test. And you know about the two ladies that had gave birth. 3 days apart. Now, a mother's intuition, she knows a child. And so this one eventually must have rolled over on her son and it died. And so she switched it. But a mother knows her child. And they had to go before Solomon. And Solomon, with the wisdom, he used their feelings. He used, perhaps thought about how the nature of a mother. And so he called one of the servants, they get a sword and cut him in half. Now something really stupid happened here too. The mother said, "Oh no, let her have it." That was a true mother there. Let her have it. Maybe perhaps she could get a peek of him or something, but at least the child wouldn't be harmed. It would be alive. And that other fool, yes, a fool, said, "Yeah, cut her in half. What are you going to do with half a child? Dead child." That was so foolish. But I just want to say, that was a test for Solomon. He passed the test, and he used the wisdom that God gave him and dissected it to go to a part about a mother's nature and feelings. And the real mother cried out, "Let her have it." So we see the test is coming. This is proving grounds down here. We're in a battle, and this is the proving grounds down here. But we praise God. God, change me. Help me to receive. Help me to handle. Help me to go through this. Change me. You don't have to move it out the way. You don't have to lift it. Just help me to go through. And so I'm working more on me than anything else. Because tests and trials are going to come. And there's a lot we haven't seen yet. But God, change me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, right. Minister Simon.